football on off the ball.
I'd be like you, I'm taking it all in, whether I'm on Twitter or whether I'm on Instagram and I'm seeing a Troy Parrott goal or a Troy Parrott assist. I'm taking it all in. I'm milking it for all it's worth, because look, he's done remarkable things in the last year with club and country.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Graham Hunter is with us. Graham, obviously the most important thing to talk about here is the racism and Mourinho and the horrific reaction that Benfica have had to try and defend their player. But before we do that, I just want to actually talk about Vinicius Jr. and his goal and the absolute genius that this player is, and how it's something that we should not take for granted. And it's how it's actually... The story from last night, should be the story from last night, is that he is back in form and playing at a level now with Mbappe that they found a way to combine to thrill us, because that's what football is supposed to be about.
Yeah, Ger, I understand you're prioritising, because although I know on your show we will treat racism, we always have done, there's beauty to talk about. I agree. I suppose it's why, in general, racists target men or women like Vinicius, because they feel threatened. Racists, cowards in general. And I saw a lot of cowardly stuff in Stade de Luz last night. But the goal, for those who haven't seen it, is Vinicius in a Houdini space, wriggling and twisting and still unleashing an effort of extraordinary power and direction, which goes at an acute angle across Trubin, up and over into the far corner. Had nothing subsequently happened to besmirch the match, which was a terrific match, really, really high quality and dramatic and full of intensity and invention and conviction and fun and backstories, apart from some of the disgraceful things that went on. Had it been a normal football match, we would have been doing exactly what you've gone straight to and saying, here's this fella who, whether you do or don't appreciate him and all that he brings with him, and I will come out and declare that I always have enjoyed Vinicius. I'm willing to pardon a lot of his extravagance, not moments where he crosses the line, but his extravagance goes with performers in high-level sport who we've seen since we were all born, whereby it carries with them an extra piece of chutzpah, an extra piece of showman, an extra piece of eccentricity, idiosyncrasy. And for the most part, although not exclusively, I'm taking that as a swap that I'm willing to put up with. Sometimes I even enjoy the Vinicius show because he is extraordinary, absolutely, he's gifted, really gifted, a brilliant athlete. That's rarely talked about. He's rarely injured. He takes a battering all the time. And one of the things that helps explain last night is that when Xabi Alonso was sacked in the morning after the Super Cup defeat to Barcelona, he was told by his employers, Florentino Perez, I've explained this on the show before, and José Ángel Sánchez, there's room for you to stay on. That wasn't a humiliating defeat, but the one thing you must do is get rid of your fitness trainer and reinstate Antonio Pintus, who's been with the club for years, who has 5 Champions League wins on his CV, and he's on the staff, but he'd been put aside by Ancelotti the previous season and by Alonso. Alonso said no, and he was sacked. Pintus came with Arbeloa. Pintus is a guy I first met in 95-96, twice, when I once went over to study Juventus' training methods under Gianpietro Ventroni, and once when I went with Tommy Burns, then the Celtic manager. We had access to the gym, we had access to the training, we had access to the fitness people and to Marcello Lippi. And from that day to this, Pintus has become a way in which you can put players in a physical condition whereby they are stronger and quicker during the season, and somehow or another, they have more reserves at the end of the season. Pintus had Vinicius for 2 weeks. Because of suspension, After the last league game that he played, he then had 2 weeks before the Real Sociedad game at the weekend. So Pintus could cut loose on him, work him really, really hard with the knowledge that in the two-week middle period, Vinicius wasn't playing at Mestalla. And therefore, some of the risks about a pre-season idea mid-season were diminished. And what you saw last night was a Vinicius who's been drilled and pushed and trained to compensate for the fact that the last two pre-seasons in Madrid have been criminally short. So the benefits, you can unpack what happened. He was in a better state of sharpness, of resilience, of stamina, in order to do the things that, as you say, make Vinicius a brilliant athlete and a brilliant footballer.
So for people who are just joining us, we've done these comments on the live show. We've done these a little bit earlier on. For anybody listening to the podcast, you might already have heard this. So Presciani, who is the accused player, says, "I want to clarify, at no time did I direct racist insults to Vinny Jr., who regrettably misunderstood what he thought he heard. I was never racist with anyone, and I regret the threats I received from Real Madrid's players," he says on Instagram. But I think Kylian Mbappe has come out and said, the number 25 from Benfica, I don't want to say his name because he doesn't deserve it, first said something bad, not acceptable, but that happens in soccer. Afterwards, he pulled up his shirt to cover his mouth and said, Vinicius is a monkey, 5 times. I heard it. There are players from Benfica that heard it too. I don't want to generalise because there are people who didn't do anything in the stadium. There are 70,000 people who didn't do anything who just want to support their team. It's this player who for me should not play again in the Champions League. Before we get to Mourinho, when an allegation like that is so specific and it is someone like Mbappe who has put that in the public domain afterwards, UEFA surely have to act immediately. Will they?
I don't know. I don't know. And I think that these words feel uncomfortable saying them. Although we're in an era where democracy is being not only undervalued, but undermined left, right and centre, those of us who are still civilised human beings understand the concept of innocent until proven guilty. It feels unclean in circumstances sometimes to use that, but if we don't use that, then we have nothing. I would say that witness statements to an act have been taken as conclusive throughout criminal justice history if they can be proven to be sufficiently credible. You've pointed out that Mbappe is a credible person, and I wholeheartedly agree. Extremely bright and articulate. And it's as a member of the jury, it's my supposition, although I did not hear Pistiani saying the words, nor could I see because his jersey was over his mouth. It's my opinion that the burden of proof is with Vinicius, is with Real Madrid, and therefore, if I were asked by the judge to sentence, I would say guilty of racism, because the case is proven. You've asked me directly about UEFA's protocols, actions, and Mbappe. What I can't swear is that Mbappe heard those words. I don't know if he was close enough. I don't know if the noise in the stadium would have permitted him to do that, or whether he is relaying to us what Vinicius has told him. Personally, because I believe Vinicius's take on events, I don't know. I felt very sorry. The number one person, because I believed what was going on, I believed Vinicius' response. Having met him maybe 3 times and interviewed him briefly, I like him. I find him a person who, in my opinion, has been battered by racism. This is a man who, remember, before a match against Atletico Madrid, saw a mannequin of himself hanging by its neck by a noose from a bridge over a motorway near Real Madrid and Real Madrid's training ground. When I say found, that did happen. It was aimed at him. He suffers racism all the time. And I think that all of us who participate in society, not just in football reporting, need to be brutally supportive of eradicating that and of pinpointing the perpetrators and punishing them. But beyond feeling deeply sorry for Vinicius and his black teammates, because they suffer this over and over and over again, it never seems to be eradicated, and it's disgusting. And I've said before, I have to admit that were it me on that pitch suffering what they suffer, I would react, and I would react very badly, and the red mist would come down. None of them did that. Vinicius didn't do that, but that was what I admit I would be doing. So until it's crystal clear who's near enough to hear, and until witness statements are taken directly to the governing body rather than to television, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And one of the people I felt was a bit of a victim here was Letizia, the French referee, who I think is extremely high standard in terms of all the matches I've seen him referee. And I think 98% of the time he does really well last night. Misses a very clear red card for Fede Valverde, who has a punch at Sami Dahl, the left back, the Swedish left back. But in general, he does well. But what can he do on the night except what he did? And there's nothing he can do. It makes him look beyond impotent, because he was beyond impotent in that situation. And I don't have an answer for you, Gerard. I know that UEFA are investigating and reading all the reports of their observers, but I don't know what's available to be done. And that makes it all the tougher to listen to Mourinho, who, in my opinion, is a disgraceful human being. I've said that many, many times. There is overwhelming evidence for that. And without misinterpreting or over-egging his words in the post-match interview and in the press conference, he has directed the blame towards Vinicius. And in that instance, Mourinho is completely in the wrong and is part of the problem.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, isn't it, to take, Graham? I sort of, as a young coach, sort of would have looked up to what he'd done and how he'd done it. But over the last couple of years, he's just fallen so far off a pedestal. And that line, a stadium where Vinicius plays, something happens always. I think that is the most damning thing I've heard from him in a long time. I know he's done some really poor things, but that's basically saying it's his fault. It's his fault because somebody calls him names. Nah, I can't accept that. And he's done in my book now. I think he's crossed the line a few times. You're right, and some of them are football stuff, if that makes sense. But to do it this way is really I'm really disappointed in that line, I have to say.
The trouble is, he has shown us. Listen, I'm on a theme here. And I'm not going to make direct correlations, but you know what I'm talking about. People show us who they are. We know, usually, who they are, what they're capable of, and he is a repeat offender. And the justice which Mourinho faces for his actions and his words, in my opinion, has never been swinging enough. And across the board, although that's not the tone of our discussion, across the board, because in general, the media, maybe even some of the public, have this thirst for bear baiting. We live in a society which is very reminiscent of the Colosseum. And what people are looking for is a constant diet of polemic and fury and accusations. And there are a lot of people who sort of chuckle and go, oh, well, that's Jose. Well, that's not good enough for you. It's not good enough for me. I think he is a stain on football. I think that his actions and words, which are execrable, overwhelm what he's achieved in terms. And he is, the trouble is, as is often the case with repeat offenders like him, he's a very talented man. That's not up for debate. But like the angel that fell from heaven, he uses his articulacy and he uses his ability to provoke in a manner which is damaging to human values and is damaging to football. And when those two yellows came up, I was really pleased. because it's time that over and over again he's exposed for the type of person that he is.
There were stories rumbling around in advance of this game that he was being considered as the next Real Madrid coach, which presumably got torched last night.
Why do you say that? It would be my perception. No, there is a fact that there, including last night, there is an ongoing admiration and mutual support goes on between Florentino Perez and Jose Mourinho. Even including last night, Alvaro Arbeloa is a coach with very little, next to zero, elite level experience. He's in there because he's made a real strong habit of being company man. He's not without talent, but he's unproven. Now, who at the moment, generally, including the loss at Albacete in the Cup, a second division team, that's played into Madrid's hands because they've had, without Cup football, 2 weeks where they can train hard, rest up. They've gone top of the league because Barcelona, by comparison, look as if they're on their knees physically and mentally at the moment. And therefore, suddenly Arbeloa is top of the league, balanced in a position where he could go through. But until last night, there was a strong argument that Mourinho, who had said in the build-up, I have a get-out clause from Benfica and it's easy to break, would be a very firm choice for Florentino Perez come June. I still don't rule that out, not by any means. And if you now we're into the realms of opinion, not news reporting, your contention there, Ger, that the way Mourinho behaved last night might somehow eliminate him from Florentino Perez's thoughts, then I disagree with that completely. Florentino Perez sees, in my opinion, nothing other than how do I damage Barcelona? How do I win trophies? And if he believes, erroneously in my opinion, that Jose Mourinho has still got that spark, has still got that ability and wouldn't be a car crash appointment, then he'll go ahead and appoint him. Now the canvas is bare because there is a big opportunity for Arbeloa to do better in the Champions League than it looked like Real Madrid were going to be capable of. And there's an opportunity, leading by 2 points, for Arbeloa to go and win La Liga and therefore potentially keep his job. But may I remind you that there are many coaches at Real Madrid who won the title or won the Champions League and then been sacked. So the number of your question was last night enough to put Florentino Perez off Jose Mourinho? Well, no, Ger. Have you been watching the last 25 years of Mourinho's behaviour?
It just felt like the Real Madrid players are going to read Mourinho blaming Vinicius' celebration on the racist abuse that he suffered and go, that's not for me. So the power broker is in that dressing room.
I did refer to a potential appointment of Mourinho as a car crash appointment.
Yes.
I wasn't backing it, saying...
No, I get it.
Might it happen? Would I, if Florentino Perez phoned me and asked me for ice, if I was the president and the ruler of Real Madrid, would I be appointing him? Players' opinions matter very, very little to Florentino Perez. Although I will say, one of his most cherished footballers is Vinicius. So maybe there's a germ of truth in what you're advancing, Ger. I really hope so. I'm not one of those who would say, well, bring on the carnival, bring on the carnage of Mourinho coming back to Real Madrid. As I said it before, I find him an indefensible human being.
Just on Arbeloa, don't mind. I see it like it's almost a correlation to Michael Carrick in many ways in terms of inexperience, not really forced choice, but both doing really good jobs. And you said Arbeloa was like a company man, but tactically he's also made some subtle enough, well, not even subtle, but he's made some big changes to the team. And he could easily point to that sort of part of the upturn and sort of how they're doing. What, like, he's given them a bit of freedom. So how does that have any weight when it comes to Real Madrid, or is it just a different animal?
It has huge weight. When I said it was a company man, I was being slightly euphemistic. from when he was a player to when he became a junior coach and working through the ranks, you've rarely seen anybody who salutes not just the Real Madrid flag, but the Florentino Perez flag as loyally or as often as Arbeloa does. And in companies, that can help you earn promotion.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm here to offer perspective because you guys will dip in and out of Spanish football, I guess, whereas it's my life, it's my career. 20 days ago, he had his pants taken down by Benfica and Mourinho. If you remember the mad ending to the game that Benfica won 4-2, first of all, Benfica really found it easy to power past Madrid in the wing, in the wings, in the fullback positions. They Real Madrid's attitude to the whole tie was, we're in the last eight. They were very complacent. Arbeloa was suckered into, well, this is nice, isn't it? I've got my old boss. He and I have got a great relationship. We're here at the Stadio de Luz. It's all going to be fine. And it wasn't. And there came a stage whereby, as the game was slipping away from them, from those who were working touchline and next to the bench, I've been advised that Real Madrid's staff weren't quite clear whether they were in or out of the top eight. And in the last goal going in, Arbeloa's reign, they're down to nine men, Real Madrid. The keeper goes forward, Trubin goes forward. Mourinho asks two outfield players to stay back in their own half as Trubin goes forward. Arbeloa doesn't notice that Vinicius, Mbappe and Sestero are in positions where they're not helping the penalty box at all. It's 8v5. Eight Benfica players v 5 Madrid defenders in the penalty area, and Trubin scores the header. So if we're talking on the basis of solidity in La Liga, which he has established, and last night, whereby for the second and a half game in a row, he plays 4-4-2, he makes sure that, there's been a change in attitude. I would put some of that down to previous willingness not being matched by ability to do things. Pintus's fitness work has helped them. The second ball challenge, as you're pointing out, I think that the work Camavinga and Valverde did to protect the fullbacks was exceptional. Madrid's ability to win second ball, third ball, very, very good. The speed of transitions, all of it, I agree, looked better. But if we're saying 20, 21 days on after Arbeloa was completely overwhelmed in the Stade de Luz, that we're already clear he's the man for Real Madrid, then I would just advise a little bit of caution for his sake, because, you know, he is an extremely volatile, extremely gritty, competitive man who has fought with the majority of his World Cup teammates with whom he won the World Cup. And therefore, there are more stories to come on Alvaro Arbeloa when we see him under pressure in the remnants of the season. But he's an intelligent, articulate, likable fella who has cut his teeth, not as much as Michael Carrick has, you know, not nearly as much. Michael is distinctly advanced in his level of experience. And last night, you're right, I agree with you. You saw attitude, structure, team shape, and double cover all for one, one for all in terms of crucial duels. You did see a difference. I totally agree. Enough for us to say already, wow, they've uncovered a gem. I'll just come back to me. Come back to me every 2, 3, 4 weeks and let's discuss how Arbeloa is evolving.
That's a promise. Graham, great stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Fellas, good morning. Graham.